boy loves Beyonce. Yeah, that's it. Every boy loves Beyonce. Yeah, okay. Every boy loves Beyonce. Yeah, every boy loves Beyonce. I just wanna wax her on and off like a sensei. No disrespect the hoe. I don't want no gunplay, let me clean up my thoughts. Keep it moving, just like a one-way. Hold up, Thicko Huey, his thoughts are irreplaceable. Chanel, he keep it real, you know that boy is flawless. B's your favorite artist, and that's without a doubt. Time for discussion, you know what we about. Every boy loves Beyonce.
What up, people? It's the one and only Bugaboo Hugh, a.k.a. God is Real.
I love that so much. And it is... That's all I can think about now. Oh, God. And it's... God is Real. And it's your boy, Charnel. A.k.a. I can't talk today. Hold on. I'm sorry.
I'm hot. It's like...
Right. I feel... It's Bugaboo Charnel, a.k.a. Come Right Now, You Know Where I Stay.
We are so full of cheer and happiness.
And I don't know, it must be the Christmas season, because I can't tell what else it is.
It's God, man.
It's a lot of things. It's God, it's weight loss, it's... it's
healing.
Amen.
Physical, oh, come on. Mental, spiritual...
Yes.
Energetically, we done plugged our energy leaks.
It's a cleansing.
Yes, a 7-day cleanse.
Juice cleanses.
Just get it all out.
Sometimes you got to.
Listen.
Sometimes you got to. Gastric emptying.
Listen, I have invested in the Pure for Men.
Oh, is this an ad?
No, it's not. Not yet. I was just curious to see if it helps with issues that I have. And possibly in never mind. How are you?
You know what? I am blessed, and I'm starting to believe that I actually am highly favored.
Yes.
I'm just out here trying to function, taking care of myself. The best I can. You know, I've got a million things on a plate that I've been, you know, balancing on my head for the last year or 2 years, but I'm just out here trying to function. It's Christmas time. I love Christmas time, mostly for the music.
Come on, Mariah.
So I'm just, didn't say all that, but I am here to enjoy all Christmas music, and that song is included, not in the albums, because I don't pay much attention, but let me stop being shady. But no, I do enjoy Christmas music, and I think it just helps set the tone. I know that Christmas music, I think it was like a New York Times article I read, is bad for your mental health, specifically because holidays remind people of love lost, love gained, heartbreak, holes in their life, i.e. family, friendships that have ended, things like that. But it makes me happy. This year I'm going to put up my Christmas tree. I haven't done it in 3 years, so I'm going to do it this year. I'm going to make a day out of it. I'm thinking about, you know, inviting someone over and like having some wine and making like a little night of, you know what I'm saying.
You're going to kiss under the mistletoe.
I don't believe in mistletoe. I'm going to kiss under every threshold. I'm going to kiss on when the refrigerator door opens, when it goes to commercial, when Netflix asks if we're still here.
But most importantly, underneath the sheets. You should get some mistletoe sheets.
You know what I just realized? I'm really mad about it. That I did laundry early and I have not put them in the dryer.
I hate when I did that with my towels, because then I got to wash them all over again.
That's what I'm mad about right now, is I'm going to have to do... I put those shits in at 8 o'clock. Like,
let's give it another spin. But no, the holidays...
I'm going to have to.
I'm so detached from holidays. Like, I'm just like, oh, it's another day. Thanksgiving, I'm like, oh, they killed all the Native Americans, and we still landmark this. Hey, cute. Although I do highly appreciate the way black people have, like, kind of repurposed Thanksgiving a little bit.
Right.
But it's still just like, it don't make me excited. Christmas is like, oh, I'm not a Christian for real, so I feel like I don't have anything to celebrate, because it's just like, that's not my belief system, but I will join in on the festivities, and, you know, the music is beautiful, great gowns, beautiful gowns, yes. And people be happy, so I be, like, living off their happiness and joining in on the happiness, but I don't be caring. I just want the time off and time and a half if I gotta work.
You know what's funny is that when I approach Christmas, I don't typically think about the religious aspect of it.
Nobody does.
I do. Yeah, I know a lot of people do. Like, I grew up in a crazy religious home, so the Jesus is the reason for the season thing was still really prominent in my head. Like, I still go to church, and they're like, it's Advent season. I'm like, whatever that means. But I do tend to favor, like, the more religious, like, Christmas songs, like Angels We Have Heard on High and Oh Holy Night and The First Noel, because I think they're prettier. They're not as festive. They're, like, very dramatic, and you know me. I always forget that some people just can't vibe with Christmas because of all the things that come with it. And in the same way that black people are like, Thanksgiving's about, you know, yams, mac and cheese, and cussing out Uncle Jerry, I think that Christmas has turned into that for me, where I just grab a drink, grab a plate, and sit in front of the TV and watch whatever NBA game is on while everybody else enjoys the festivities. You know, like, it's like, Christmas is just a downtime for me. I just like the fact that everyone else is, their spirits are lifted, even if it's just a little bit, because you can feel it.
Yeah.
It's a palpable thing. It's a tangible thing. And I think that's my favorite part of it. I mean, Jesus is important too. You know, I see you, JC, but in general, like, that's my favorite thing about Christmas.
I so. Did not know that Now Behold the Lamb was a Christmas song.
Yeah.
I just found that out, like, this week. I'm like, oh, it is?
Did Kirk Franklin teach you that? What happened?
No, Twitter taught me that it was a Christmas song, because somebody was like, I can't even enjoy it at Christmas because it's all these praise and worship choirs sing all year round. So I was like, oh, it was a Christmas song? And somebody said teaching choirs more songs. It was something along those lines. I was like, oh, Jesus, I didn't know that.
The more you know.
The more you know.
But no. I can go anywhere.
Ha! Ooh. Read a rainbow. But no, my thing is, when it comes to the holidays, I strive to have that feeling and that mindset every day. Like, when Thanksgiving comes, like, I wake up thankful for everything. Although I might not show it in the way that people would expect to see it. Like, I'm grateful for everything. I'm thankful for everything. So when Thanksgiving comes, it's just like, I mean, I was like this 365 days. Like, it's, I wake up like, damn, like, I have what I need, although I complain and bitch about it. But as much as I complain and bitch about stuff, I'm grateful and show gratitude for it. So it doesn't hit me that other people may not view it that way.
Right.
Like, Christmas comes, it's like everybody's cheerful because it's the season. I'm just like, but I'm always cheerful. I always do my best to be cheerful because I like being in that headspace and I like bringing that kind of energy around people.
I was like, that's not me. So I'm not always cheerful. Let's see, that's, for me, that's a laugh in the pit. I couldn't say that on air, but
I mean, I'd be wanting to come back home.
No,
but I'd be, like, cheerful nonetheless and joking and all that stuff. So to me, it'd just be another day, but I just got it off and I get paid more. Maybe. But it is what it is.
I wish I could be cheerful every day. That's something I strive to do. I think that
it's hard.
And we don't have to stay here. This could be part of a school in life if we're going to do it. I think that there's a distinct difference between happiness, cheerfulness, and joyfulness. I think that happiness is correlated with things that are happening. So circumstances make you happy, changes make you happy, any turn of luck can make you happy. I think that cheerfulness comes from, I think specifically from other people. I think it's the way, you interact in your world. You know what I'm saying? Like the fact that things around you bring you that feeling. And I think that joyfulness is like a base, like it's a building or a curation of all the things that you've known to be true and all the things that you've known to be right and all the things you've learned. And it's a confidence builder. So if you get in there and you're like, you know what, today is really hard, but I'm happy in this difficulty because I know I've had other hard days. I've had hard weeks. I've had hard years. And somehow I've made it here. And that, I think, is joy. So for me, it's like I can stay. I'm constantly joyful. People talk to me and they'll know that I'm happy to be where I am, even if I'm pissed off or stressed out. But I'm not always happy. Like, I'm just joyous. Like, so I'm I can't keep up with the cheerfulness. That's why Christmas is probably so important to me, because it's this collection and connection that I feel at this time of year that I'm not going to feel again for another 11 months unless some shifts start happening. So I don't know where we're going with this. We got to stop preaching.
I've never differentiated those three before.
I think too much.
I mean, I do too. That's it, about different things. That's why that's why we work well. It's like the things that you think about a lot, I'm just like, oh, wow. And then like vice versa, I'd be overthinking stuff and you'd be like, oh, I mean, it's kind of simple over here. So it's like, but no, I don't know. I guess you want to sign to the school of life then?
I mean, we kind of started it. We can just keep rolling. Let's
continue with it. To me, like, I surround myself with things that I know are going to bring positive feelings to me. That's something that people don't really get about me. I am very easily moved positively by small things. So it can be a song and I'm good, or a joke on Twitter, or like texting somebody or a joke that I make to somebody and knowing that I made somebody else laugh. Like, okay, I'm good. I find that kind of stuff easily. And I think I just developed that growing up, because in moments where stuff was bad, I needed something to fall back on that I knew that wasn't going to be taken, or like that couldn't be destroyed. Like, music, you can't take that away. So I always had a way to consume it, because I knew that if I could consume it, I'd be fine. And even today, it's like my phone is full. I got Apple Music, Spotify, and Tidal, because I know that that's something that I literally need to keep me in a good space. Even I just be in my head playing around and saying dumbass jokes to myself, and it's just like, oh great, working out is something small, but all those things make me happy. So it's like when people are like, oh, I want to go on a vacation, and I'm like, I'm amazing in my bedroom, because all the things I need to bring me the most joy or happiness are right there, because I make sure I supplied myself with those things. So granted, I'll have a great time at Disneyland. I'd have a great time at Disney World or on a beach or wherever, but I'd have just as great as a time in my house with my Indian clay face mask, a apple cider vinegar lock detox, a nice run, and the fucking Golden Girls. Like,
that'll do it.
And then it's just like, I'm good. Like, I can go away from this earth happy.
No, I'm jealous.
Don't be.
No, I think that I guess in the way that I am schooling life and or trying to maintain my happiness and cheerfulness is I'm kind of like you, where I can be happy by myself. Like, I live alone. Like, I'm so used to coming home to the peacefulness and quiet that is my apartment every night. Mm. And that is a blessing in itself, because I'm always all over the place, up, down, all around. And to come home and have a place to convalesce is nothing short of a blessing. But I do, I am incapable, I think, of surrounding myself with things that only bring me happiness. I think part of me, and I don't know if it's just who I was built to be or what it's meant for me to be, but part of me attracts conflict and chaos. Even if it's not my own, even if it's not anything that's to do with me, it's attached to someone that's attached to me. And so I'm the person who's like, can you help me make sense of this? Put hands on this and help me fix this. Help me put this together. Help me mold this thing or corral this thing. And I think that makes me happy. I'm not entirely sure if that's the right word, but it makes me feel kind of whole. Right. And so I've found myself recently putting myself in places where I'm useful, where I know I have a skill set. And I'm actually, I've been kind of living by a mantra the last like 2 weeks, and we haven't talked about this at all. So this is a little bit of a fun thing. But one of my favorite, again, I'm such a church boy. It's so bad. I'd be up here cussing my ass off, but we can quote a verse in a minute. But, no, I've been, it's Isaiah 6 and 8. If you guys don't know it, like, go check it out, put it somewhere, and it'll encourage you. But it's just, the Lord's asking, like, who, like, the priest, not the Lord, is asking, who should we send for us? Who should we send to speak for us? And Isaiah raises his hand and says, well, here I am, send me. Like, that willfulness to help, that willfulness to be a mouthpiece, to be a person who shares stories and builds bridges. And I'm trying to be that person. Like, I know that that's what we do here as podcasters, as storytellers, as you as actor, or just as a human being or a friend or a brother or a cousin. Like, our goal is to do that. And so what I've been doing is finding those areas to do that. When I see there is a hole anywhere, I'm going to fill it, because that's my prayer, is to, like, send me, when, like, show me places where I'm useful and can be a blessing to someone. And I think that's where I've been. That's been, I'm trying to build my happiness in the last couple of weeks, if that makes sense.
It so does.
We are too deep for our own good.
It makes perfect sense. Cause at one point I was the same way. It was always like, I wanted to do for others. And even still, like, I guess happiness, joy, what, positive feelings of life. I don't know, but I feel good when I'm helping people, or when I know that I'm making a positive impact in their life. Like, well, I know that I made somebody laugh or made them smile, or I gave them good advice or helped them with something. Like, that makes me feel really, really good. But at some point, I'd say over the past few years, I realized that I was finding too much joy in helping other people at the expense of helping myself. And I wasn't giving myself what I was trying to give to other people. And it was hurting me mentally and physically. So I had to learn to include myself in that group of people that I always want to help, and make sure that I'm okay too. And that's really when I started focusing on making sure that, okay, I have things at my dispense, at my disposal, that I can go to and just kick back, turn my phone off, and recharge myself. Because I can't keep giving out, because eventually I want to run out and not have anything to give. And then whatever I'm giving, I don't know where it's coming from, but it's coming at the cost of my own sanity. And I feel like that's what kind of contributed to my depression. Not taking care of myself, but trying to take care of everybody else, and not having anything left for myself.
I agree with that. Yeah, it's easy to fall into the trap of constantly pouring out. But I think this also is like an important time to mention that when you are someone who is a giver or a sharer and you're constantly pouring into other people, you need to make sure that people are pouring into you. And it might not necessarily be the same people. Because I think as friends, we're constantly transferring things over and under the walls of friendship.
Yeah.
Constantly. Like, that's what friendship is. But I think that sometimes you're helping people and you might not be pouring so directly into your best friends or your family members, but they could be pouring directly into you, you know?
And it's the circle of life.
Yeah, right. You need to make sure that while you're doing this, that you have your own support system. You can't draw from nothing. And you can't get water from a dry well. So while you're over here, you know, quenching thirst and making sure people are nourished, you need to make sure that you've got some rain coming down so that you can be just as filled too. So it's a struggle, and it's hard to find balance in that without seeming too selfish while trying to be selfless. But at some point, you need to prioritize yourself for your own sanity.
And
I'm glad you figured it out. I think we both have. I just a little bit of a masochist, so I just keep pushing.
I was like, what is this peace? God fucking, I want this more often. It feels good. Right. But yeah, and I know another thing too for me is I still need to work on allowing people to pour into me. Because the nigga got pride issues and slight trust issues. I mean, it is what it is. You know, I'm a work in progress. But the more I open myself up to that, the better I'm realizing I feel as well. But I just need that discernment to know who I can allow to pour into me and who I can't. And who's going to pour something of substance, because I'm not settling for somebody pouring some shit into my life anymore.
Facts.
So that's how I've been schooling life.
That's how we both school in life. I'm kind of here for this. I really do. We say this every time we do it, but this is quickly become one of my favorite segments because of how, like, because it just sets the tone. Like, now we're in the mood, like, if there are any burdens, we done laid them down, you know. It's just like, now we're here and y'all getting fresh Huey, fresh Charnel, like, inspired, driven, enlightened, like Huey and Charnel, and
like she would want us to be.
Yes, I feel one like with ourselves.
I feel like this is what she wants from us. I feel like when she secretly listens to us on her burner SoundCloud account, she'd be like, I've been waiting for them to reach this place, and I'm just so grateful and so happy. And The Lion King's about to come out, and I'm excited.
Oh, that's how it... First of all, can we talk about how the beehive is school in life? These Lion King memes, GIFs, I can't.
And it's like... Low key, it's the Lion King half and the be like,
right?
If you in both halves, like if you part of the pride and part of the hive,
the pride and the hive,
like we are a super group of people.
We really are.
Those of us who, you know, saw the original Lion King in theaters, no matter how old we were, and have some sort of memory of it. Those of us like me who have like 5 copies of it on DVD from different like special edition sets and 25th anniversary and that big box set that got it on the Disney DVD Blu-ray combo. I still need to see it on Broadway, and I refuse to see it anywhere else but Broadway. I don't want to see it at the fucking Kennedy Center. I want to see it in New York on Broadway.
I've seen it on Broadway. It's phenomenal.
I listen to the soundtrack all the time, and it's like, they did the fuck out of that.
Oh, they did.
Listen, He Lives in You just moves me to a place that God is black, man. He has to be, or she has to be.
100%.
This is so good. I'm so excited. And like, it looks so good. And... I'm pushing somebody's child out the way.
Look, this is a PSA that I understand that every animated, well-meaning, non-explicit movie that comes out, you want to bring your children to so that way they can sit hopefully and prayfully quietly for 2 hours so you can just sleep maybe. I don't know what you guys, what parents do at movies. I'm not a parent. Mm-mm. But when it's movies like this and you know it's a remake and you know that it's our faves in it, that these kids have no idea who they are, and you, like things like Beyonce are happening.
Beyonce and James Earl Jones?
Right. They don't understand. Save your child's viewing for them after church viewings on that Sunday.
Yes.
Your baby don't need to be out at 6 p.m. on Friday, Saturday. They don't need to, you know what? Save them for, if it's not after church, it needs to be before noon. Go find you a 9:35 showing on a Saturday, a 9:35 showing on a Sunday. Don't come see us anytime between the hours of 12 and 11 p.m. on any other weeknight. Take them out of school because I will trample your kid if they get in my way.
Can you shut up?
One time.
Can you shut up?
Right. If you cry off key during the Circle of Life, I'm whooping everybody's ass. If you better harmonize, if you're going to wail, I don't want to hear nothing from your babies.
Hey.
Don't. If they didn't take a nap, don't bring them to the theater. I don't want to hear nothing from them.
Also, for everybody that's our age, I understand that some of y'all weren't smart enough to turn on them captions on the DVD to know the actual words to the beginning of Circle of Life. But if you're going to sing it, I'm going to need you to sing the right words because I actually get very frustrated.
Yes.
When people be putting random stuff and I'm like, shut up. Just shut the fuck up.
Because it's low-key disrespectful. Like, I don't want to say it's racist, but it's racist.
It is disrespectful to just me. As fuck. I remember one time I was brushing up on the spelling of some of the words because I don't remember how to spell them all. And somebody was like, oh my gosh, it means this. And it's like a secret language. I'm like,
it's not a secret language.
I mean, of course, I'm a white person, but I'm just like,
It is
don't know.
It's not Swahili, right? What is that?
I think it is Zulu.
I think it's Zulu.
I think it's Zulu. I think Simba is a Swahili word.
That's what it is. Come on, Africa.
Yeah, mother. But I'm excited.
Me too.
And I made the decision that my sixth tattoo that I'm getting in January for my birthday is going to be my Lion King tattoo.
Is it going to be like the Simba? Like
something along those lines.
I can get behind that.
Yep, but of course, it's going to have a nice Huey spin on it because I feel like a lot of people have that. So yeah, I'll tell you about it off mic because people be selling ideas and shit.
They will.
In the
heartbeat. Anyway, so we schooled life.
All right, so you ready to jump back into I Am Sasha Fierce and kind of round out our discussion on it?
I am as ready as I'm going to be.
Okay, as am I. So the thing about this album and this era probably that strikes me as odd is how the Hive just pays it does. How it's just like treated as the stepchild. And I, to me, I don't really understand why it received so much hate. Mm. But I definitely want to get into that and how it compares to the other albums and other eras. So my first question is, do you feel like it lacks something that the other albums have?
I'm going to say yes. And specifically, and this is also going to touch on something else, and I won't jump ahead of ourselves here, but the album at its core, out of all of Beyonce's studio albums, it lacks, I don't want to say it lacks soul, because it kind of does, but it lacks a soul. You know what I'm saying? I think this was like the only real concept album Beyonce tried, you know, where it's like, I'm these two different people. But the beautiful thing about Beyonce is that we already knew that. We already knew that you were already this fierce woman on stage and this compassionate, patient, and shy woman off of it. We didn't need you to conceptualize that and then put that on a disc because sometimes it felt like it wasn't as cohesive as she expected it to be. But I think it's that. I think it, when you hear like self-titled or you hear, even if you hear B-Day or Dangerously in Love, it's this intermingling of these sounds and feelings that make it feel like we're looking and listening to an entire person. and we're not split down the middle, because without your, without, you can't be yin without your yang, you know? Right. And so when you've been listening to I Am on its own, it feels like it's lacking something. When you're listening to Sasha Fierce and those songs back to back to back to back to back on its own, it feels like it's missing something. So I think that's why The Hive doesn't vibe as much with it. And there's other reasons too, but I would love to hear why you think, or if you think it's lacking anything.
I didn't think it was lacking, but I also, like, I feel like what I Am lacks, Sasha Fierce picks up, and vice versa. So it's like they're separate, but they form a whole. But I think the whole two disc album and the separation of it is what kind of lends to what you were saying, as far as it not having a cohesive soul to it. If she put it all like that, deluxe edition that she did, where it was all on one disc, and played with the track listing more, right, and like reorder stuff, I feel like it would have that cohesive soul that you were talking about. But I can I definitely see what you're saying, and I actually can agree with that, because it is kind of like because I said before, I would count them as two separate albums.
Yeah.
And when you do that, it is kind of like it doesn't have, it's missing something, and it's missing something that the other one has.
And low key, like, I wouldn't, if they were two separate albums, I probably, if I didn't know Beyonce was great, if I was just like a casual fan, I wouldn't buy I Am like as an album, and I wouldn't just buy Sasha Fierce as an album. You know what I'm saying? Right. Like, it's, like, and I just wish that she had really gone in and told a story with this playlist, because it's possible. Like, we've listened to it. I'm sure every Beehive member listening to this has curated their own, because I have it on my Apple Music, their own Sasha Fierce, I Am Sasha Fierce playlist, and have ranked the songs and put them in order of what they would like to hear and how they'd like to hear it and what they'd like to feel at a specific time in the playlist.
Yeah. And I feel like we should drop ours when the show drops.
Yes, we should. Should we like screenshot it, or should we just like write it somewhere?
You can shoot the Apple Music links.
Oh my God. Public playlists. Yes. I'm going to do that. That's actually smart. I love that. Why are you intelligent? Like,
you know, because I stopped drinking and smoking.
Don't lie, because I haven't stopped drinking and I feel okay.
But no, so as an era, do you feel like the era? Well, okay, first, how do you define an era? Like, what are your qualifiers for any artist to say, okay, this is an era? What are your qualifiers?
An obvious start and a finish, beginning and end, things that could be quantified, I think. And there has to be a shift, an obvious shift in sound, promotion, production. I think that's how you know that a new era has begun, because I Am Sasha Fierce is something that was nothing like B-Day. And I think we realized Beyonce was growing up at this point in time. She was almost 30, you know? So we're like, wow, you know, this is Beyonce trying to figure out herself. And I think that's what this was. This was Beyonce's, I'm going to figure out the music I want to make and where my sweet spot is.
It was her Saturn return. Yes. Holy shit.
Yeah. And I think that's what this was Beyonce's defining era for that reason, is that she said, I'm going to get in this studio. I'm going to make all the things, all the pieces of me, and put it out there. And going forward, I will know who I am and what I am as far as music, the music industry is concerned. And I think that's what's happening, and that's what happened. And that was the era. So I define an era like that, like a shift in an artist's approach to music, a shift in their sound and style, something very obvious.
So you definitely say that some artists have an era with each album, and some artists have an era that has multiple albums in it.
Yes. Okay. And I could name a few.
That's
with,
So would you say Beyonce has an era with each album?
I would say yes.
Okay, that's what I.
Yeah, Beyonce never sounds the same.
Like, it's always something new, something different. Right. A new look. A new
story to tell every time. A new look. And that's the other thing, too. Like I said, Beyonce, her aesthetic changes.
Yes.
When a new album comes out. Like, Beyonce, you could tell that she's in a different place and she's feeling different. You can't tell that with Adele or Taylor Swift.
Well, Taylor Swift, she went, like, from country to pop, so she had two.
She tried to go, like, well, we can't even tell you that because if you go all the way back to, like, Red and what came before Red.
Was Speakeasy? Speak Now?
Speak Now. Speakeasy. I hate you. But Speak Now, there was Fearless, Speak Now, and then, like, Red. And, like, I think at Speak Now, we saw Taylor Swift start to wear a little bit more form-fitting things than flowy dresses. You know, like, she was like, oh, I have a body that I want to show off. You need to get into this box, get into this refrigerator box. But then she, let me stop shaming this girl's body. But I just feel like at that point, she was just Taylor Swift. There's no, Taylor Swift has sang about the same thing since 2007, you know? And I just feel like that's an era. Taylor Swift is an era. And her era is going to end when she decides to retire at 45. That's how I feel. I'm not, this is not the Taylor Swift podcast. If she would grow as an artist, hell, Katy Perry grew as an artist. Like,
she did.
If Taylor Swift would just manage to, like, be somebody that's not who people want her to be all the time, then I would give her a little bit more respect and start splitting things up. But
she got a little edgy on Reputation. It was cute.
I didn't pay any mind to that album. I went through one time just to see if I would find a bop that I could secretly dance to. Couldn't find it, really. So I'm no shade. It wasn't because I hated the music, because Taylor Swift writes the fuck out of a song.
Yes, she does.
But, like, she makes a catchy tune. But it's just like, I just couldn't vibe with the whole thing. Like, Look What You Made Me Do pissed me off, because I'm like, girl, you did this.
Yeah. I mean, that was typical. We're back to Beyonce. Yes. So as far as an era goes, do you feel like the I Am Sasha Fierce era lacked something that the other eras had?
I wouldn't say that it. I think it has something that the other era doesn't have. And it's going to be pretty inflammatory to say on mic, so bear with me and walk with me through a thought. I think what it has is a wider appeal, you know, wider and whiter appeal. Where, because I think I Am Sasha Fierce is, like, her most commercially successful album ever. Like, it's just, this as far as, I think, next to, like, Dangerously in Love.
It is very mainstreamish.
Yeah, and I think that it was Beyonce. Like I said, it's obviously Beyonce, but it was Beyonce giving us these parts of her. Like, I'm trying to find myself. These are things I know that people are going to listen to because I'm Beyonce, but also things that I'd listen to and things I can do things with and make things with and curate things with. We saw her do it. Mm-hmm. But when you have, but you also saw, like, songs that are great, like Why Don't You Love Me, or songs like Halo that are, like, definitely Beyonce songs. But then we got hit with, like, Single Ladies, which I thought was the laziest when I first heard it. And, like, the production's super intricate and all that stuff. But I hated Single Ladies at first because I thought it was the laziest thing Beyonce could have ever done. Like, it's so repetitive. I'm like, this Beyonce is better than this. It takes no vocal capability. I can sing Single Ladies right now. Not do the dance, but I could sing it. And but everybody else who was not a Beyonce fan was swept up in this for some reason. And so I think that's what this era was. It was just that it was so, like, palatable to so many different people that Beyonce didn't feel exclusive or personal to us anymore, if that makes sense. It's like, you didn't have to get Beyonce to get I Am Sasha Fierce. You just had to be able to move your hips a little bit. It was weird.
Right.
I don't know if that makes sense.
It does. And I think it makes sense because, like you said earlier, conceptualizing it as two separate standalone discs, it took some of the soul out of it. So it gave it a less personal feel and a more everybody can relate to it. Or everybody can vibe with it to some extent because it was less individual based, I guess.
Yeah.
But I feel like as an era, I feel like this was a big era for her because it was mainstream and she was everywhere. Like, I feel like the promo run was bigger than B-Day was. 100%. I feel like this is probably her biggest promo run.
She was everywhere talking to everybody, which she never did.
I feel like with 4, she was a little bit more personal. But I feel like this was like her last big public rollout promo. I'm here, I'm there, I'm everywhere. I'm on all the award shows.
It was also the time, and I think one thing to recognize too is that, and you guys can attack me or correct me, critique me in this, I think the country was in a state of flux as well, where Beyonce also started to become this person, where, because Beyonce was performing everywhere and Beyonce's face was everywhere, and like you had the election of Barack Obama during this era, and Beyonce was all over that, singing at, you know, the neighborhood ball and singing at the whatever that little concert is they do before inaugurations. Like, so you saw her and you start to realize that if you want Beyonce-esque things, you have to go to Beyonce. Yes. The same way we talked about the Jacksons. If you wanted Michael or Janet, you had to go to them.
Yes.
And I think that was where this era was for her. I think that we started seeing like Beyonce is like prominent. Beyonce's important enough that presidents want her. You know, so it's like there's all these things that started happening for Beyonce where this is really where Beyonce rocketed to superstardom and she's never looked back. Like it's just, and like I think that I don't know, it's just there's so much in this era that could be unpacked. And I really wish kind of now that that kind of Kevin was here because he's like literally studied this. And because like at least this, the political and social aspect of Beyonce's rise to power. but it was just a weird time in the country. And at a time when like Lady Gaga was coming out, where like things were changing in music. And if you didn't catch the wave, you missed it. You know? So
whew, it was definitely a moment.
Oh yeah. Now I'm excited. I gotta go make a 2008 playlist.
Listen, such a time.
It's underrated year.
Listen, that was a pop year.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, okay. I am Sasha Ferris. One thing that I mentioned, like the award shows and performances and stuff. I also love how with this era, like when she would perform If I Were a Boy, like we get all these renditions with all these different songs mixed into it, which she still like does today, which is one thing that I will forever be grateful for. I'm Sasha Fierce for is giving us If I Were a Boy, because I love every time when she puts something else in there. The Alanis Morissette, Jack a Little Pill is one of my favorite albums. Like, it's such a good album. It's a great piece of work. It's so effortless. When she did, Bohemian Rhapsody, Jesus. Bittersweet.
Yeah. I knew what you were going for.
Like, it was so perfect. When she did it at the Grammys, and that intro that she did, like, the performances of If I Were a Boy are iconic to me. And I feel like, to me, it's a staple.
Yeah, it really is. I think that If I Were a Boy was one of those, like Beyonce, if people don't give her enough credit through her music, like even if she doesn't write the whole of all of her songs, because that's the critique, is that Beyonce has 8 writers on a song with 8 words on it.
Look at me.
Yeah, we got real musicians.
I'm criticizing Beyonce. I'm cool.
Oh, I got to talk about something shit I heard too. I'll put it towards the end of this. But because people who can't find a legitimate reason to like, I'll put it here just because it's on my mind now. We don't have to stay here too long, and then we'll get back to If I Were a Boy. But someone who critiqued Beyonce, because they were going around the table and they were saying, you know, oh, Beyonce's my queen. I love Beyonce. All the white girls were like, yeah, I agree. Beyonce is phenomenal. She's godlike. We need to, you know, we need to support her and love on her and pay our tithes, like all those things. And then some of this little Latino boy, it's not a little Latino boy, but a grown-ass straight Latino boy says, well, I like Beyonce, but like, I think it's weird that she's so pro-black and so pro-this and so pro-that, but then she wears like blonde wigs. And I said, wait a minute. First of all, it's not up to you to be worried about what black people are doing in general. You need to worry about what your community is doing, the anti-blackness in that community, since you're worried about being pro-black.
Do that.
And it's like things like that where people like look for reasons to dislike Beyonce instead of just saying, you know what, I think Beyonce is talented, but I'm not a fan of her music. That's okay to say, and people don't want to say that. They feel like they have to intellectualize it. Mm-hmm. And you don't have to. You could just say, I don't fuck with Katy Perry like that post-Teenage Dream. But I don't have to say, well, you know what? It's the way, it's the sphere of the bottom, the base of the cone of her whipped cream titty bra that bothers me. Like, I don't have to do all of that. Like, I can just say, you know what? Her lyrics just didn't hit me. The songs weren't that catchy to me. I moved on. Teenage Dream, like, it's just easy to do that. And people, like, I hate when people say that about Beyonce. You can just say you don't like her music and move on. Don't attack things. Because then it starts seeming like you have a problem with her blackness and not her. You know, it's just like, watch your mouth. But if I were a boy, yes, I think it is a staple. I think it is one of those, Beyonce doesn't get enough credit for being a storyteller. Yes. And from the beginning of that song to the end of it, and in the beginning of that video, and then before you, if you saw it for the first time, the surprise flip at the end of the video is like, you're like, like, this is what's happening in this video. This is what's happening in this song. And we all knew the feeling of this song, but I think that the fact that she could do so much with it, and I think at some point it was more than bittersweet and Alanis Morissette. Who else did she put into this song?
So many.
God, was it? I'm gonna Google it in a little bit just to figure out. Cause what's the song? And I can't sleep at all. Then what song is that?
Dido.
Iris. Thank you. Yeah. Oh. And so like she threw all that. This was that time where Beyonce was like, we saw her experiment with mashups live and things like that, like the Beyonce experience. And but this is when she was like really letting everybody know that I listen to all this shit and I'm learning from all these people.
Right.
And like, and I'm talented enough that I can do all of these things. And we daddy lessons at the CMAs, so like I could do all of this. Like, you guys are mad that I can. And I think the If I Ever Boy performance has showed us that god, we stand a queen.
We do. A legend. An intelligent, this everything,
a studied a musical academic,
very well learned and well rounded.
Yes, she's well read.
Well listened,
reads well. I can't.
It's so painful. So do you really feel like it's as bad as people make it out to be, or do you feel like it's the hive exaggerating, like we always do, just because sometimes we ain't got nothing better to do?
Right. Sometimes we bullshit just for the sake of doing it, because it's fun, i.e. Lion King stuff.
Yeah. Sometimes we gotta drag it just to drag it, because this is like, look, they say we like her too much, so we gotta find something to get on her about. So let's just pick the bang, and I am Sasha Fierce.
You're right. No, I because I think that's what it is. I think that the hive, I don't know. I don't think it's that bad. I think it's because, again, it was so widespread that we felt like we lost Beyonce as a kind of a personal entity. I think that with Dangerously in Love, it was her trying to tell her story of like her young womanhood and things like that. And B-Day was rambunctious and in your face, and it was all about fierceness and loving yourself and being, knowing that you're too good to be treated like shit, even though we know she stayed with someone who was treating her like shit. And we're gonna let it go.
We are.
But I'm saying that I think that with I Am Sasha Fierce, it's like she just opened herself up, opened the world up to a secret that we felt like only we knew. And then as we went past like 4 and we went into self-titled, into Lemonade, it's like we knew we were learning more about Beyonce, but it's Beyonce became this very recluded, you know, secluded person. Remember, she like fell away from interviews. She stopped doing all these things. And so when she started sharing things, we felt like it was her doing it as a friend, kind of. Right. And I Am Sasha Fierce was just like, take all of me, bitches. These are both my sides of person. Like, it just didn't, we felt like, I just felt like the Hive felt like not slighted. Neglected, but yeah, like this, what about us? What about us? And
I also, but you don't know it's normal.
Right. It's good music. It's not bad music. It's right. Like Beyonce made good music. They were hits. We got award show performances, Good Morning America, Today's Show. We got Beyonce everywhere. We got every interview, Tyra Banks show, Oprah Winfrey. We got like everybody. She was everyone and everywhere. And I just think that like we have to accept and acknowledge the era for what it is, but stop treating it like it's the redheaded stepchild. It's yeah. not. Like it's.
Because, it, like you said, the music was so good.
It was good. It wasn't like she made shitty music and gave it to us. Like,
it was so smashing into you. We talked about these things. Smashing into you.
Yes.
Disappear.
I'm going to listen to Disappear when I go to sleep later.
Listen, I'm being my feelings.
No bullshit.
I'm going to be all in my feelings. We're not going to do this again. No. I feel like we butchered that song enough. Any final thoughts on I Am Sasha Fierce? Wait, okay, my last question, actually. Do you feel like the I Am World Tour gave some redemption to the disappointment?
Disappointment is a very strong word.
It is.
But, no, I think the I Am World Tour solidified the fact that Beyonce, or reminded us that Beyonce is still Beyonce.
Right.
I think that for all those of us who are either underwhelmed or felt slighted by the release of this album, I think she's like, just so you know, just in case y'all thought that I couldn't growl with the best of them still, or twirl or dips, dance and drop with the best of them, I still can.
Right.
It's like, I've learned, like, in the I learned while recording this album who I was. I didn't figure it out after y'all listened to it. I don't give a fuck what y'all got. So Beyonce don't talk to us for that reason.
Right.
She doesn't care what we have to say about her. So I think that that tour, the fact that she started, again, all the mashups and things that is, that started coming with it,
mm-hmm.
and the musicality of it that we saw that was similar to the Beyonce experience, where like the instruments played such a huge role in moving that story along, and she tried new and exciting things. This bitch was on a zip line.
Take me high. Like,
right. Like, there's so much musicality in this where, like, we realize that we still have the same Beyonce. Mm-hmm. We just have a Beyonce that is more studied, more prepared,
right.
more willing to give of herself, and more willing to take chances. And I think that's what we saw. Because that was the first Beyonce tour I saw in person.
Right.
And so I remember being in there and just feeling that moment. And just feeling like, yeah, Beyonce is larger than life. She's everything that she said she was on all these tracks. And so I was like, I felt the I Am. I felt the sad and unsure side of Beyonce, but I also felt the power that came once you shifted over into I'm a Diva and all these things, you know. So it's like I Am Tour definitely did it for me. It let me know that I'm still that bitch. Don't forget.
Right. And I feel like to tap back into what you said about the soul of the album, I feel like the personality that we missed out on the album, she gave on the tour, because that's when she started giving us those glimpses into her like personal life. And like when Smash Into You came on, it was like the days until she saw Jay-Z and stuff like that. So
yeah,
she got really personal. And then with the I Am Yours, again, she got more personal with that. So like you said, she was finding herself, and I feel like by the time that era concluded, she knew who the fuck she was, and she was like, now I just gotta figure out what the fuck I'm gonna do.
You're right.
So it was a big turning point for her, to me, and that's why I love it so much. Although it does rotate as my least favorite sometimes. But it was a big turning point for her, and that's why I appreciate it for what it is.
Right. You know what I was just thinking about? Because I was Wikipediaing If I Were a Boy, and it has nothing to do with what we just said. But it's a funny note to end the show on, or to bring it down on. Do you remember the fake tape of her If I Were a Boy performance on the Today Show that like quote-unquote leaked? And it was like everyone's talk for like a whole like 3 months. Did you?
No, I remember the other Halo video.
No, remember it was, I'm going to find it on YouTube and send it to you. Because I remember she did the Today Show in 2008. Remember she had that black bodysuit on?
Today Show 2008.
She got out, she rolled up in that car and got off. When she started Single Ladies, and then she did it. You'll remember when you see it.
Okay.
But then after that, some guy, he actually ended up being from Connecticut, from what I'm reading. He ended up, remember, he like took this soundboard recording and altered it, and it sounded like Beyonce was singing crazy, wildly off key. And Howard Stern had played it and was saying that, like, oh, this is an unedited version of Beyonce's live vocals from the mic feed and all this stuff. And you'll remember when you hear it, but it was a mess.
Yeah, that was back when the internet was a little bit slower for me.
Right. And everybody on the internet was a little bit like... But it was funny to me, and I just thought about it because I saw it, and I was like, that's right. And then Matthew Knowles said that he's like, at 12 years into Beyonce's career, the last thing someone should be questioning is her vocal ability. Like, nobody would cheer for someone who sounded like that.
Listen. Mess. No, do you remember the other version of the Halo video when he was being chased by the dogs and shit?
Yes.
What the hell was Jesus. That? It was pretty. It looked nice. It was well shot.
Yeah, everything is well shot. I think that's also the entrance into Beyonce's actual like music videos, where like we saw B-Day, the anthology, where it's like she had all these things, but it wasn't really well done. Like it wasn't super high quality. Like Greenlight wasn't a high quality, high budget like video. We talk about Kitty Cat all day.
Kitty Cat was cute, but
it was not good quality. But then when you start looking at the Halo video and the If I Were a Boy video and the Single Ladies video,
mm-hmm.
And how Beyonce kind of got hooked on Jay setting for way too long, because we got it in Single Ladies, and she was like, I'm going to put it in Diva, and then I'm going to put it in Sweet Dreams, I'm going to put it in Ego. And I'm like, girl, calm
down. Sweet Dreams was a visual. I felt like y'all slept.
No, it really was a visual. I still can't get over that gold robot outfit, but do you, sis, go off. that ramen noodle hair. I was like, okay, B, we see you. But no, that is I Am Sasha Fierce. Finally wrapped up with a nice little bow just in time for Christmas.
That was fun. That was really fun.
I'm glad we did it.
Yes. So going forward, we want to break these next ones down to more than one episode.
Oh, yeah.
And revisit B-Day and Dangerously in Love, of course.
As we have got to.
So you got a book of B for us?
I do, because I'm out here wilding recently.
Listen.
We're going to open the book of B. We're going to go to chapter, I don't know if we should call it chapter Beyonce or chapter self-titled. verse mine.
It depends on what version you're looking at.
You're right. I'm just going to call it self-titled because it sounds more official, you know?
Yeah.
Because I don't... We're not going to get into it.
Semantics.
Right. But verse mine, I think it goes without saying for you, Huey, because we talk a lot off mic before we actually hit record. But recently I have started feeling things about things for people.
Same.
Romantic-esque feelings where I kind of want to claim people in the romantic sense. I'm trying so hard not to use the word relationship.
Same.
And dating. But it is, are we this damaged? Are we this broken?
No. We're just emotionally unavailable.
You're right. And hopefully they realize that before it's too late. I end up married before they realize this isn't working out.
God forbid it actually does work out. Jesus.
What am I going to do? Am I supposed to like just be in love for the rest of my life?
Like really? That's what y'all be doing?
Y'all really out here eating together and breaking and sharing space and enjoying activities all the time?
Every day.
Y'all like holiday seasons together? You shop together? Oh, never mind. Look, I'm the type to be ducking people like, oh no, I got a doctor's appointment, be shop grocery shopping by myself. I'm the person to be lying. How come I saw you in Stop and Shop? You saw me where? You ain't see me. Like, yeah, I did. Your car was outside. You said you had a doctor's appointment. Bitch, I had a doctor's appointment in the beef aisle. Leave me alone. But no, mine is just that song that we know where there's a lot of struggle and a lot of fighting. And I think the song specifically talks to a lot of infighting in a relationship that's already kind of existing or had existed. Yeah. And I think the fighting that I am dealing with, and I'm pretty sure that I can confidently say that you kind of are too, we've started talking about a little bit, is more internal.
Yes.
Where we're saying, like, I haven't felt like myself after X, Y events. I don't feel good enough, or I feel good enough. Like, I just want you to know that, like, you feel good and you feel familiar and you feel right. And so regardless of whatever the hell, right. And so whatever the hell these other hoes are doing, wherever the hell you're going, whatever else you're hearing, you are mine. You belong to me. You make me feel all these things, and don't you forget it. and so, like, they think that's where I am right now. I'm just in this mode where, like I said it in the beginning, my AKA is like, you know where I stay. feel free to pop up anytime. you're mine. Oh, bitch, you're mine. So I don't know if you want to toss that alley-oop at all.
Yeah, I want to highlight a certain line of that. So the context in which she said it is different than the context in which it's going to be applied. But that's the great thing about music, you know? In the song, it opens up actually with, on my mind, up past my bedtime. No rest in the kingdom. Now, for those of you who don't know, I'm on a very, very strict schedule. My bedtime during the week is 10 o'clock because I have to be up at 5 in the morning to be at my full-time job by 6 and carry on throughout the day. When I tell you I have been on FaceTime with this boy, this man,
the shiver. Did you say who?
That's a slight one. To like 1 in the morning, knowing I got to get up at 5. But it's like, I haven't been in a place where, like, I don't want to get off the phone with a nigga. I haven't been in a place where I actually want to be on the phone with a
nigga. Right.
Let alone FaceTime, which I find so intrusive. And just stay on there and looking at faces and talking about dope shit and no rest in the kingdom. And I'm happy being sleepy for now.
You know what? I'm the exact same way. And it's been a long time, years, actually, since I've, you know, I don't know, since I've looked forward to text messages and tried to, I've never had to, like, I'm gonna play it cool. I'm not going to write back right away because that makes it seem like I ain't got nothing going on when I tell them I'm busy all the time. Like, you know, like, I haven't done that in so long, and it feels good. And it's scary to say that. And I think that's why we're trying so hard to be ambiguous.
Yes.
But it is terrifying because we've been here before and we know what that feels like. But I think it's a beautiful thing because just like with Beyonce, as she's grown, there's a great song that we all know from Lemonade. If we're going back to Book of B and we're talking about Forward, you know, best foot first, just in case. Like, we've been here before. We've learned, we've protected ourselves. We've built up ourselves. It's not an issue anymore. We know what those signs are. We know what those red flags are.
Yes. And my therapist told me that if it does not work out, that is what he calls successful dating.
Yes.
Even if it does not work out, it is okay. You learned, and it's better to get out of a situation than to be. And I know that from experience as well. You know, sometimes you gotta let shit go, but I don't see no signs for me to let it go right now. And I'm enjoying
it. And if it comes, it comes. And, you know, like, you'll learn a lot and you'll feel a lot. And I am one of those people, no matter how much I dislike having to be in it, because I've only done it once, but I'm a person who loves love. And I always have been. I've been a fan of what love does to people and how it changes people. And that doesn't mean any. It could be romantic love, platonic love, a godly love, where I've seen love transform and shape people into incredible human beings. and to and inspire them to do incredible things. So when I see that in myself, or I feel it boiling or bubbling back up, or that potential to come, be there, I part of me is excited because I remember being head over heels for people and it pushing me to be the best person I wanted to be. Like, I was working out every day, getting studying super hard, and like, that's something that is amazing and it's awesome.
I don't get comfortable. I'm not. I'm the exact opposite. I'm like, oh, I got a nigga now. Let me make sure I can't eat this. I can't eat this. Let me go and get to the gym. Is that a pimple? And I got two more forehead right now. And yo, he still be saying I'm cute with these two pimples on my forehead.
I'd be like,
oh my god, stop lying. Okay, say it again.
You crazy? I'm not cute right now.
I look a mess.
Me, 100%. Like, don't you hate it when they hit you with that, like, oh, hey, cutie, how you doing? What's up? Don't compliment me in your greeting, because that'll get me all fucked up. I'll be quick. You call me handsome, I'd be like, stop it. You're better looking. You're cuter. No, like, no.
You can't even see me right now. Somebody's all good morning, handsome. You can't see me.
Or can he? You looking around like...
Just assuming I'm the audacity of you for you to assume that I'm looking decent right now. How dare you? How rude.
You know it's 6 a.m. I got this crust in my eye. Top some good morning, handsome. Go to work. Get off my phone. But hi. Good morning.
I'll go wait for you to respond to my text message anyway.
Am I in red? Did you open it? Oh, the dots closed. I'd be force closing shit just so I can see the name pop up on my screen or... When someone calls you and you see their face pop up because that's their face ID thing, and you like, deep breaths.
We got this.
Hello? And you know, I'd be putting on my deeper voice, and I can't do it on the mic now because it's late. But you know, I always try to put a little bass in it. I'm like, breathe. Hello? Yeah, no, man. How was your day,
I'm chilling,
though?
I'm chilling. I'm good.
You know, I'm just out here relaxing. You know, just laid up, sprawled out in my bed, you know, legs wide open.
So how was your day and everything? You know, what you get into?
Trying to be cool for no reason. And then 10 minutes into the conversation, you just as stupid and wild and silly as you ever are. And you forget that you were trying to put on.
Yes. Like, and it's dope when you can just be goofy and share with each other too. But.
I love it. A full argument about dogs that I don't have yet. And like... It was a full-on heated discussion. And it was like, what are we doing?
Oh, man. Won't he do it? Mine. Okay, let's close this up. Because I got somebody to send a text message to. And I think you do, too.
Same. Before I go to sleep.
So, the doors of the church are now open.
Yes.
If anybody would like to come to Beezus, go ahead and hit us up on Twitter at BoysLoveBees, sliding the Gmail at BoysLoveBeyonce@gmail.com. Hit us with those 5-star ratings in the comments and stuff and let us know what you like, what you don't like, what you want to hear from us. And where can they find you at, broski?
You can find me. I'm going to stop giving people my Snapchat because it has blown back on me horribly over the last week or so.
Ooh.
I got listeners all in my Snapchat sending me pictures of things. And But you can find me on Instagram and Twitter. It's at CharnelB. It's CharnelB. Where can they find you on them timelines, Hugh?
At Baby Huey, that's BabyHuey. Same thing on the IG. And all your other projects, where they at, what they is, how can they get them?
Oh, God. Well, if you...
Run down your resume, bro. Run down that resume. Run down that CV.
If you guys are looking to find me on somewhere else, other shows, you can listen to my true crime show. It's every other Monday. There's a new episode dropping the week that you're listening to this, so go check it out on What Did You Do. For those that give a damn, we have a show December 9th in New York City at Caveat. You live in the area, $15, a link. I'll put a link in the show notes for you guys. And every Tuesday you can hear me and my boy Frankie on What About Your Friends.
Dopeness.
Wow. Can we talk about... Never mind. I can't. Off mic. God is good, man. It's just weird.
And you can catch me on Chapter 2 of the web series. Currently on Amazon Prime. Go ahead and subscribe and check that out. And then Kennedy the web series dropping, I think, December 30th. So yes, my first two web series. I actually start working with my acting coach tomorrow. I'm excited. And yeah, stay tuned. I got something else coming this month too.
Something else? Yeah. Oh, I love secrets.
A little something else for y'all to listen to.
So something for y'all to cut up to.
Of course. So I'm excited. But like you said, God is, and that's why I said God is real.
He really is.
God is real. And with that being said, we out. Remember, all roads lead to B.
Yes, deuces and deuce.
Yeah.